Federal police are investigating a trip the father and son gunman took to the Philippines weeks before the deadly terrorist attack. The Philippines Immigration Department says the men arrived in early November, stayed for a month, and listed Davao on the southern island of Mindanao as their final destination, a region long linked to terrorist groups and training camps. Dr. Levi West is an internationally recognised authority on terrorism and radicalisation. He's currently a research fellow with the ANU. What do we know so far about this trip and the sort of military-style training the two have reportedly received?
The important part is to recognise that we don't actually know. We know they've been, we've verified all of those things. We know they went on Indian passports, etc. The key piece of information that really makes this something of consequence is whether or not they've trained with militant jihadist organisations in the southern Philippines, and that is yet to be confirmed.
Tell me a bit about Mindanao and which terrorist groups operate there and run these training camps.
Yeah, so the southern Philippines, as I think many people will have learnt in the last couple of days, has a long history of jihadist and other forms of sort of separatist terrorist violence, I guess we would call it, insurgency and militancy. The southern island of the Philippines, or the southern islands of the Philippines, are overwhelmingly Islamic versus the rest of the Philippines, which is overwhelmingly Catholic, and has a long, long history of resistance going back to, you know, Spanish colonization a long, long time ago. In more contemporary terms, since the days of Al-Qaeda and the war in Afghanistan, the one against the Soviets, there has been a smattering of footprints within the southern Philippines in the early days of Jamaah Islamiya. They had sophisticated training infrastructure in the southern Philippines. Most people would be more familiar with the 2017 siege in Marawi, but more broadly, there is a whole range of various factions and sub-factions of jihadist militant organisations that operate across the southern Philippines.
We know that ASIO has investigated the son of the pair, Naveed Akram, for his associations in Sydney, not for any actions he undertook himself. But where someone has previously been looked at by security agencies, would we then expect that if they travelled somewhere with known links to training camps and regular extremist activity, is that something that you would expect a security agency to pick up?
So I think there's a couple of things here, and it's probably important. The first one is a time piece, right? So he's investigated in 2019, and he's investigated as a peripheral actor. He wasn't a central person of interest, and was deemed to have not presented any threat. As much as I want security services to be able to prevent the kinds of things that happened on Sunday, I'm also not, I don't think people should be entirely comfortable with the idea that if you get investigated once by a security service, found to be of no concern, that they would just keep you on the books and in a file somewhere so that when you went and did something 5 years later, right, there's a reasonable period of time between when he was investigated and when they've gone to the Philippines and then subsequently done the attack. The other part of that, though, is that, and I say this from the advantage of post hoc, right, all of these things make a great deal more sense when you look at them after someone's done a terrorist attack and everyone asks questions about why X, Y, and Z wasn't identified. It was mostly because the person hadn't committed a terrible terrorist attack yet. But there are some questions. And I think probably the most substantive one is about how it is. You can't just go to the southern Philippines and show up Islamic State-run training camp and ask. There's a level of connectivity and a set of relationships that you would need to have in place. And the questions, I think, are probably more about how those were able to be established without that raising some kind of concern somewhere within the system. So, you know, there's some substantial questions about how it is that someone, even if they hadn't have been investigated in 2019, was able to build those kinds of relationships to such an extent that they were able to travel over there and potentially wind up engaging with a jihadist training camp. And I think that's probably where the big question is.